Hi, everyone. Happy Memorial Day weekend. Today, we're going to invoke the presence of our ancestors, talk about our ancestors, and also celebrate the specific reason for Memorial Day for U.S. soldiers who have lost their lives. I've already lit a candle. We've returned to the land of our soul. We've thanked the ancestors. Savannah put together this beautiful bouquet in their honor. And if you'd like to join me for a moment of invocation, and if you don't want to invoke your ancestors, that's perfectly fine. But if you do, I want to open the floor for that, so to speak, and the door for that, the doorway of our heart to say, come, you are welcome here. You are welcome to be with us, to celebrate with us, to experience the music and the message and the prayers and the blessings and our presence. A whole new expanded understanding of the word unity. And so if you'd like to open the doorway of your own heart and invite your own ancestors to be amongst those invited in, please feel free to do that now. Might become aware specifically of certain ancestors who are joining us. And so we simply say, welcome to this loving space. And so it is. So as I mentioned, this is Memorial Day weekend, and it was originally, the roots are, it was called Decoration Day. And it was at the end of the Civil War that people spontaneously started going and decorating the graves of fallen soldiers. And eventually it became Memorial Day and a national holiday. And I want to also specifically welcome in those ancestors and honor those ancestors through you, who you might have, who served in the U.S. military and lost their lives. And if you'd like to honor them by standing, taking a stand for them, and let us give them a thank you round of applause, I invite you to do that. If you have an ancestor who made their transition serving in the U.S. military. And I'm standing for Benjamin and Charles Lewis, among others who I haven't discovered yet. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you. Into Flanders Fields is a famous poem by John McCrae, and it's unique in that it takes the voice of the dead soldiers themselves. It's Flanders Field is in Belgium, U.S., cemetery there. And it goes like this. In Flanders fields the poppies blow between the crosses row on row that mark our place and in the sky the larks still bravely singing fly. Scarce heard among the guns below we are the dead short days ago. We lived, fell down, felt dawn, excuse me, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw. The torch be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with those of us who die, we shall not sleep though poppies grow in Flanders fields. My second and third great-grandfathers were, they were father and son, and they both served in the Civil War. They both were imprisoned in Confederate camps. They served for the Union. And my third great-grandfather, Charles Lewis, died in a camp when he was 44 in Tyler, Texas. And Ben Lewis, his son, made it home at the ripe age of 29 at the end of the war. He lived to be 81, but I believe he was traumatized physically and emotionally until most throughout his life from the horrors of the war. And I've learned this recently about my family through online databases, through interviewing family members, and through dialoguing with dead ancestors. And I want to share this and encourage all of us to dive a little bit further, because what I'm finding is a lot of richness and a lot of gifts by doing this work. Have you attempted to do any of your family history, anybody? Yeah, lots of folks in the room have, in various ways, probably. Unfortunately, the records are limited for some people, especially Black families and Jewish families and Native American families, for tragic reasons we're probably all aware of. But still, where there's a will, there's a way, and there are ways to learn more, and that those ways are growing and expanding. So until recently, I didn't really see the spiritual benefits very obviously in doing this kind of delving into ancestry work. And part of it was probably just my kind of go-to religious leaders or spiritual leaders would have been the co-founders of Unity, Charles and Myrtle, who Charles pretty much said, you know, anything he said about ancestors that I ever read was about the limiting consciousness, and that we have to break the binds of the limiting consciousness that comes from our ancestors. And of course, Myrtle, his wife, our co-founder, was a living example of that. She broke the bonds of the belief that we could inherit, that she could inherit illness. And she claimed that, more importantly than anything, she was a child of God and therefore could not inherit illness. And Jesus, well, he was a good Jewish boy, right? So he honored and respected his parents. But by the age of 12, he was claiming his real parents were the Godhead and his father's house was the temple. And so this idea of more transcending the human experience, because we're on a spiritual journey, and so that, oh, that ancestry stuff and that blood and bone stuff, it's not so important. It's not necessarily connected to the spiritual journey in a very obvious way. But oh, is it? And that's really what I want to invite us to look at today, and maybe each of us to look at more deeply in our own lives as you feel inspired to do so. So the first Parliament of World Religions I attended was in Salt Lake City, and some of you might know the Mormons are very dedicated to unearthing the genealogical process. They have a family research library there that I spent time in while I was there, and they have their own spiritual reasons for why genealogy is really important, but for me, it opened the door by being there to look a little bit more fully. And recently, I've been doing a little bit more of this. And the more I do, the more I am blessed by it in various ways. And so I wanted you, too, to be blessed by it. If it's something that you've looked at a little bit and kind of let go or not interested at all, or maybe because there was, you know, a lot of negative experiences in family, you've completely closed the door on that, or there's a lot of estrangements and such in family lines. But part of the work is to heal. And how can we heal if we don't look, if we don't open to it, if we don't allow our hearts to engage in that process to some degree or another? What has come for me is a fuller understanding of myself, that sense of kind of origin, you know, the land of the soul. Where do we come from? What are our migration paths? What did my family do? Did they put their hands in the dirt? Were they farmers? Yes, many, you know. And so we learn these things about our family, and it gives us gifts to thrive. And it also gives us challenges to grow from as we learn more and more. I imagine, and it also has the opportunity for us to expand our consciousness, for not only for ourselves, but for our ancestors and for our descendants, and thereby the whole human family, because we're all connected, right? There are gifts like gratitude that come, and as I mentioned, healing, and there's compassion and forgiveness and shifting perspectives and deepening understanding and blossoming connections that couldn't otherwise be done if we don't open the door to it and invite it in and allow the invite them in and allow the experience to unfold. I'm guessing that your ancestors, like mine, are a microcosm of humanity, and there's lots of diversity in your family tree. It may come in various forms. In my family, it's more a diversity of ideology than anything else that I've found so far. I mentioned those white, great-grandfathers who fought for the Union to end slavery in the Civil War. I also have found that I had relatives that were slave owners, unfortunately. My Quaker ancestors protested for their religious freedom. They also likely participated in the Underground Railroad that gave slaves their full freedom. They are probably buried alongside freed slaves and Native Americans, as many Quaker cemeteries are like that. My Pilgrim ancestors were religious leaders who also had indentured servants. And as I mentioned, many of my ancestors were farmers and some were kings and queens. And so it's that spectrum of humanity. And for me to have that personal, we talk about it all the time, right? Our diverse, you know, the diversity of humanity that we celebrate, the inclusivity, the oneness at the heart of it all. But when we have that personal experience, it brings it home, for me anyway, a little bit more fully. They are us and we are them. And not only because spiritually we are brothers and sisters, as Michelle talks about it, ancestors of affinity, ancestors of the human family, but also the blood that runs through our veins is connected. In these kinds of ways where you have blood in your veins that probably were defenders of democracy and freedom, and you probably have blood in your veins that were authoritarian controllers. You have blood in your veins that could be both cruel and kind, loving and fearful. And when we recognize that it's in us, in the cells of our being, there's a whole new coming home to that understanding of oneness. And when we come home to that understanding of oneness, so much flows from there. Healing, forgiveness, compassion. That's expanded consciousness. So the forgiveness, the atonement work is all a part of this too. We participate in cleaning up our lineage when we're willing to look at things our ancestors did and in some way forgive them, forgive ourselves, atone on their behalf, atone on our own behalf, apologize, whatever it is that feels inspiring for us to clear the pathway, to clear it for them, to clear it for us, and to clear it for those who come next. When you look around the world and you see issues in the world and you say, well, my heart is breaking and I don't know what to do about this and I feel helpless and powerless and, oh, I wish they would stop and they wouldn't do that and they wouldn't think about that and they wouldn't act that way. Know that we are a part of that and we can help break the cycles. We can help break those cycles that we don't want to continue into the descendants of the whole human family. And specifically our own. And we can specifically do work when we know who our ancestors are. And we can sit with them and talk with them and heal with them and expand ourselves into greater wholeness. So, you know, when you think about all the harms that have been done, the hurts that have been done, it does come back to what Charles Fillmore was talking about. I mean, behind every hurt and harm is a limited consciousness that acted from a place of limitation. Right? And so what we are all about on our spiritual journey is opening it up, not limiting ourselves, not limiting each other, but expanding ourselves into the possibilities of who we can be. And I believe we have to also bring our physical aspects. We also have to bring the human, the very human aspects of ourselves and include that in the spiritual journey. It's not two different separate categorized things. It's not that I pray or I meditate or I read scripture, whatever it is that you do, you come on Sundays, and that's feeding just my spiritual self, and then I'm going to go have lunch, and I'm going to go be with my friends, and I'm going to feed my body. It's all one. It's all one. And if we keep separating, as the churches have done for so long and caused so much harm, we keep causing even more harm because we're acting out of a limited consciousness that says spirituality only looks transcendent. It only looks like we levitate, or we're, you know, it's only from the heart chakra up that we work. But you wouldn't be here if we didn't have those lower chakras, you know what I mean? So let's honor them, right? Let's honor them in the various ways that we can heal and reveal the gifts that are here for us. There are a lot of gifts. It's not just about healing. You know, there are lots of things we'll unpack: love in its many forms, fortitude, resilience, talents, skills, spiritual knowledge. There's all kinds of things that will be uncovered in your family tree if you take a look in various ways. So as I mentioned, there's different ways we can do this. We can connect with our ancestors by inviting in direct conversations. Besides looking at the names and dates and places and all that stuff we can get through databases, we can begin, it comes alive more when we hear the stories and we see the pictures, the images, and we can kind of, you know, feel a little bit more the realness of that person, that ancestor who was formative in our life, who maybe haven't ever met yet. And so how do we do that? Well, you think, well, maybe I can, I can call up my living relatives and have a conversation or interview them. And that's certainly one thing we can do. And also, you can talk to your dead relatives. I know you may think you can't talk to dead people, but you can. I'm saying maybe many of you already have, and you know, yeah. What's that?
Star Wars, yeah.
Sixth Sense, you know, there's lots of, yeah, lots of possibilities. And it's a lot easier than you might think. It may sound just, oh, it's so woo-woo to you and so, like, far afield for you. And yet, what I find is a great eagerness for these ancestors to come in and to visit with us. It reminds me of this scripture where the Spirit is saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Won't you let me in? And I will come in and I will eat with you and you with me." In other words, we'll commune, we'll have connection. And I believe the ancestors are standing outside the door of all of our hearts, knocking and saying, "Won't you just let me in? Won't you just open the door, invite me in, let us have a conversation. Let me tell you about our shared ancestry, our family, the lives and the stories, the heartbreaks and the great achievements, the accomplishments and the ways of being and showing up, the funny stories and the tragic ones and the things that will move you and put your feet more solidly on the ground on this spiritual journey in a whole different holistic way than perhaps you have before." So I find that we think time and form is going to somehow limit our connection, but it doesn't. It doesn't at all. If you are dialoguing with an ancestor who has gone before you, you are both spiritual beings in essence, and you both have a shared human experience. So that already creates a bridge that is pretty automatic. And then, of course, those timeless, formless kinds of communications are actually richer, I find. I mean, I've had conversations with my father that I would have never had when he was alive, because it's freer, it's less inhibited on both sides, and there's just a conscious flow that is very different than it would have been. Yes, do I long to be able to, like, see him and look in his eyes and hold his hand or hug him? Absolutely. And so some of this reaching for the ancestors brings up our grief. Good! Because we need to heal our grief. or express our grief. I don't know if heal is the right word, but express our grief, because what is that but expressing our love? And if that isn't expanding, I don't know what is, because it opens all the channels up and it allows us to be freer and able to access the truth and the authentic expression of who we are as a soul and in a connection with our lineage. So if it's of interest to you to do some of this, I'd encourage you to find, maybe create for yourself a ceremonial space of some kind. You could find like a cave-like space in nature. That's a really lovely place to do something like this. Or a grove of trees, or just simply sit near an altar at your home. Maybe you have some pictures of ancestors or a particular ancestor you'd like to dialogue with. I think the images can be really helpful. Lighting a candle, saying their name, inviting them in, asking your questions, or just listening. Actually, maybe I'll invite you to do that right now if you'd like. If you want to participate, if you don't, you can just be in the space. But I just invite you for a moment just to drop into your heart. And if you'd like to open your heart to whatever ancestor would like to come in, or maybe a particular one you'd like to say hello to. It's going to be brief, mostly a hello, but just see who comes. And perhaps you see their image or feel their presence. Maybe you have a question for them, or they have something they want to say to you. So you can take up a longer practice of this on your own, but just to say hello, perhaps whatever feels comfortable for you, maybe an embrace, a thank you for coming in your own way. And then for now, we just say goodbye, or end the dialogue anyway, not necessarily say goodbye. And as especially if you go further into this practice and have longer periods of time, I always invite you to shake that energy off and, you know, reground. If you really spend some time with us, maybe lie down on the ground, or, you know, just really feel your feet on the ground. Maybe move a little bit, shake a little bit. Just especially for those of us who are sensitive, we might take, you know, just carry some burden with us. I found myself doing that when I did some of this, and I just had to, you know, really cut that tie and reestablish the kind of relationship we were having. So just not to be afraid of that, but just to be aware of that. So just always good to regroup and reground. And you may discover that you have support and guidance available through the ancestor who possibly came now or who will come later that you didn't even know was there. By opening up the door, I met, and especially because I had seen her picture and felt drawn to it, Elizabeth Wishon, who was my third great-grandmother, and that's her husband, Frederick, who was born in Germany. And Elizabeth came through and said that she and I were the most alike of anybody she knew in our lineage. And that was so, heart just felt so, my heart felt so good, and it was so nourishing. It's like, I've got a relative who gets me. And to make that connection, I never would have had I not started this work. I've never seen her picture before until like a month or so ago. And then all of a sudden it was like, wow, there's something about this woman. I want to know more. And then when I opened this door, and she came. And she told me all kinds of things. She gave me specific examples of how we're similar, how we both long for freedom of expression, and that how important that is to us, especially as women. And she talked about how loving her relationship was with Frederick, and she even gave me relationship advice. It was fabulous. It was really fabulous. And now I feel close to this grandmother who was born well over 100 years before I was born. So it's that, those kinds of gifts that there's no way we would know otherwise if we didn't start taking a look, literally, physically at the pictures, and spiritually at opening to this idea of connection. We can also, of course, talk to our living relatives, which I also did that. I called my cousin and my aunt, not mom and daughter, but connected on the family tree as cousin and aunt. And I didn't know that that cousin and that aunt are actually estranged, that that aunt had kind of cut her out of her life. And I learned why, because I learned secrets about my grandparents, and they both made me feel proud and ashamed. And because my aunt was ashamed of one of these secrets that my cousin told, she cut her out. And because she's a lesbian, that was also a problem. So there's, you know, and now I know. So now I feel inspired, like maybe I can help bridge something here. You know, maybe, I don't know. I haven't tried yet, but I want to try. And so by having these conversations, I feel more connected to family members that are still living and those who have gone before. It's deepened my understanding. It's made me learn things about that my grandmother did that I think, how cool. I would have never known that she went door to door registering women to vote in 1924 and 1928. And in the 60s, took a bus all over town. But she didn't drive herself, but she was determined. I would have never known that, never guessed that was in my lineage. And so it's those things that, like, oh, that inspires me, or oh, that makes me sad. What can we do to open up that wound a little bit to help expand the consciousness of our family, our lineage, and what's to come, and therefore the human family? So what is it when you consider your family, when you look at the big picture of your family, or maybe you just look at your immediate family, what is the gift that your family gave you? Because every family gives us a gift, and you could probably, there's probably lots of them, but you could probably call out one that's like an overall gift. Yes, that from my family I thrive upon, whatever that is. And there's also probably a challenge in your family. A challenge that you carry, probably many, but one, if you can pinpoint one major overall challenge that your family has, and I'm going to say gifted you, because it allows us to spiritually grow those challenges. And if you can take each of those, the gift and the challenge, and move with them in some way, literally, maybe you draw about them or you write about them, you work with them in some way, so that you can allow both the challenge and the gift to be integrated into your being more fully. The recognition, the awareness, of course, is always the first step in our spiritual evolution, right? So even just to look and to say, ah, yeah, I see this gift and I see this challenge, and I'm not going to just try to get rid of the challenge, but see how they weave together, and they can weave together in me, and they can help me to continue on my journey. That's your family's legacy to you, those gifts and challenges that they have given you. And so to work with that legacy is to open up the pathway as we continue forward. By going back, by delving in and going back into the past, we really propel our success in the future. So the torch is yours now, really. The torch has been passed to you to spiritually evolve, for yourself and on behalf of those who came before you and who will come in the future or who are already here. And like in John McCrae's poem, the poppies strewn across that field, the voices of your ancestors may also be saying, to you from failing hands we throw the torch, be yours to hold it high. Don't break faith with us. Will you hold that torch high? Will you receive that torch? And will you hold it high to illuminate the path for those who have gone before and are yet to come, and for yourself, and really for the whole human family, for all the species, by proxy, all of that is also connected, of course. And if you will, then I invite you to affirm it with me. Together, I hold high the torch of my ancestors and illuminate the path of spiritual evolution. And so it is.